they're just sticky.
Good evening. I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Ana Bakoa. Ana Bakoa. Gedula Chimincha. Tati. Terura. Alephet Gimel. Yud Tav Tzadi. And the letters of the month of Shvat. The Tzadi and the Bet. The Tzadi created the constellation Dali, which is Aquarius, as well as the month of Shvat. The Bet created the planet Shabtai, which is Saturn. Together they have a gematria of 92, which is 91 plus the kolel. And 91 we know is the unity of the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai, with the tetragrammaton 26. 65 plus 26 is 91, and it represents the unity of the spiritual and the physical worlds. The kolel, when you put things together, it frequently requires an additional item of unity to be added to it. This is the 92 of the month of Shvat, the Tzadi and the Bet. The gematria of the first six letters, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, of this verse, this gematria is 506, which is the gematria of the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love, love for no reason. Kabel rinat abcha sagvenu taharenu no Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, Satan, which translates as tear up Satan. Tear up the negativity, eliminate the negativity. The same six letters can be permuted or permutated to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us to put guards on our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth, which are the gates to our essence, the gates that we leave open, God forbid, so that the Satan, the negative forces, can enter. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57. Which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, sustenance. Sustenance is essentially the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we can utilize to take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Baruch Rachem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim. Yachid Geah Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatak Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence can be utilized to help speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah through this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu Yodea talumot Shin kufav Tzadi yud tzav. This sequence of six letters can be utilized to help manifest in our life those dreams and aspirations that we desire. When looking at the letters on a detailed level, the first two letters have a gematria of 400, Shin and Kuf, 400, which is 4 times 10 times 10. And this number represents perfection. The four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. And the last four numbers, four letters, Vav, Tzadi Yud Tav, has a gematria of 506. The same gematria as the first phrase's letters. Unconditional love. The seventh verse is telling us that perfection of the four worlds occurs through the utilization of love. And the unconditional love in the first verse teaches us that every step in the process from thought to manifestation, from beginning to completion, perfection only occurs by utilizing unconditional love. And the last verse, the eighth verse, is said in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. I'm going to read a verse from the Zohar from a section of Zohar, the Parsha of Yitro, section 24, You Shall Not Make. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Lo ta'aseh lecha peso v'kol temuna ha'itmar v'yamar Rabbi Yossi kol partzufin sharei bar mi part. Sham de ha hai partsufa shalit bekola. You shall not make for yourself any carved idol or any likeness. Shemot, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, the second of the Esther Dibrot. This was already explained. Rabbi Yossi added, any form of a face one can make, except that of a man, for a man's face rules over all things. The earlier in the parasha, and the explanation of the parasha in the Zohar, it explains that the image of a man controls certain aspects, and that when one makes an image that includes the face of a person, one is changing the process of creation. One is interfering with the plan of creation. And so it helped, this verse that I just read is helping us to understand there is a reason, a logical explanation as to why we should not have another idol. In the earlier verse, it explained that a carving of a sculpture of an animal, of a flower, does not have the same effect as when it's of a man. And that's why the ancients would have idols. They would have a tree, and there would be an angel in that tree, an entity in that tree, connected to that tree, and then someone would serve that tree by bowing to it or talking to it or many other things. Whatever their service represented, that entity, that angel, would share fulfillment, pleasure with the person doing the serving. And that aspect was on a level like we have addiction to drugs, an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to the search for pleasure. But it was even more intense because their desires in our earlier generations were more intense. There is always an explanation for the mitzvot. There's always an explanation for why Hashem creates the system the way he does. Whether we know that explanation, whether we understand that explanation, doesn't change the depth and beauty of the creation. It is our job to search for that depth, to search for that beauty, to become awestruck by its simplicity as well as its complexity. The paradox that is a unity. I know my words are paradoxical, but the more one studies our natural world, the more one comes to understand what those words meant. Before I start our fourth discussion of reincarnation, does anybody have any questions? Okay. The first three lectures, I don't want to call them lectures, discussions of reincarnation, the last three classes we gave on Tuesday evenings. These three lectures are available for download on the website, as hopefully tonight's lecture will be put up by tomorrow morning. Those lectures were not given in an orderly fashion. And so I'm going to try and bring it into some semblance of understanding and give you some structure. Reincarnation exists. It is the explanation that makes sense of the question, why does bad things happen to good people? If this is a world of perfect justice, and it is, then how can bad things happen to good people? Or conversely, good things happen to bad people? That does not seem like perfect justice. And the only explanation is to understand that there is reincarnation. So when we define and evaluate and judge a person as good, we are looking at this lifetime. Number one, we don't really know their consciousness when they do their good actions. If every time they give tzedakah, charity, they're hoping to have some honor given to them by the people around them, is that truly a good action? Its surface is good, but is its essence good? We cannot really know another person's consciousness. We can know our own consciousness. So when bad things happen to us, are we willing to take responsibility, which is the steps leading up to the corrections so that we will not have to be reincarnated? People are reincarnated into animals. People are reincarnated into grass and plants. People are reincarnated into inanimate objects, rocks and earth, mountains, deserts. Why? Because there are certain corrections that can be achieved to the soul or by the soul through understanding that existence, because it's a very painful existence to the soul. It's painful for the soul to be in a body that moves and thinks and is aware. It's much more painful the more limited the desire of the physical entity is. An animal has a lower desire than a man. Plants have an even lower desire to receive than an animal. And the least desire to receive is in the inanimate. Souls are incarnated based upon their actions and where they can learn the lessons they have to learn. When man was created, reincarnation was available, but it was not expected that he would reincarnate into the plants and the animals. And if we read closely in the Torah, at the time of the flood, in Noah's generation. It is only after the flood that people were given permission to eat animals. Prior to that, we were vegetarian. And the reason for that, given and explained in the Zohar, is the generation of the flood was so negative that the only levels and method of balancing their bad effects was to be incarnated into the lower worlds, into the inanimate first. Some, not everyone went into the inanimate, but some did. And over the eons of time, that rocks are broken off of mountains, and then they're broken off of into dust as the water wears and wind wears it down. And they become nutrients for the plants, and they move, that soul moves connected to those nutrients into the plant. And that plant gets eaten by the animals, and man was given permission to eat an animal in a kosher manner in order to elevate the soul of another human being. Prior to the flood, that was not necessary. And so the eating of animals were prescribed, because the essence of an animal will tend to lower the desire to receive of a human being. Animals do not have as great a desire to receive as a human being. And the eating of the animal will cause us to become more like the animal. But if there's a human soul in there, frequently that soul needs our help in making that elevation. There are numerous stories told about the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, that during his time that various goats and lambs would come to him, and there would be a discussion, obviously not in Hebrew and not in English, but a discussion, a communication between the animal and the Ari. The animal would be asking to be slaughtered and eaten in order for the soul to be elevated, the human soul within that animal. And the Ari would evaluate whether that soul was ready to move and change. And it is taught that the movements between worlds only take place in certain months. The months of Aries or Nisan, Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer. An animal can move to the level of the human. Excuse me. In those 4 months, the plants can move to the level of the animal. And then from Leo to Leo, which is Av, Elul, Tishrei, and Cheshvan, inanimate can move to the level of the plant. And from Sagittarius, Gedi, Dali, and Adar, the animal can move to the level of the man, of human beings. This is just some of the rules that the Ari has given us in understanding the process and helping us to understand the natural world around us. Kabbalah teaches us to look for the ultimate cause of something, not to be satisfied until we know that ultimate cause. And to understand that when we don't know the ultimate cause, our correction is going to be limited by that. In the writings of the Ari, there is discussion about, and also in the Zohar, tremendous discussions about the Erev Rav that came out of Israel, came out of Egypt with the children of Israel. That there is the discussion of how could the children of Israel be cleansed through the mikveh of the splitting of the Red Sea, and 50 days later receive the Torah, or experience the gift of the giving of the Torah, and then 39 days later build an idol. It doesn't make sense. And the Zohar is very clear that idol called the golden calf was actually the soul of Lavan, who was reincarnated into a stone, and in the process of a few hundred years, he was at the point where he could be elevated from plants to animals. And so literally the soul of Lavan animated the golden calf and was on a level that, with the witchcraft that Lavan had been taught, learned, experienced, he was able to be a channel to the spiritual worlds. And we will talk about that starting after we finish reincarnation. The next subject we will be talking about is understanding psychic abilities. But this soul that animated the golden calf would answer questions for people. Should I marry this one or not? The golden calf would tell them. What should I do about this business decision? The golden calf would tell them. In exchange, the golden calf required service. And that's what we were discussing about not building idols. Now, in our generation, we have experienced the Israeli secular government promoting settlements in Gaza back 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And then 5, 6, 8 years ago, I don't remember exactly when, the Israeli government decided that this area of ground, Gaza, was no longer necessary, and they wanted to exchange it, hopefully for peace. And so they proceeded to evict any Israeli citizen who was living in that area. And the settlers, who didn't want to lose their life's work of having built up an economy, those settlers resisted up until the army walked in the door. There was no bloodshed this time. But in the previous time, in the previous history, when the nation split apart, the Northern Kingdom refused to let its citizens travel travel to Jerusalem, which was the mitzvah, three times a year to appear before Hashem. And the northern kingdom built, can you believe this, two golden calves as altars to replace Jerusalem. And when citizens of the north, citizens of the ten tribes, wanted to go to Jerusalem, they were stopped by the soldiers of the king of the north. And unfortunately, from not often, but when it did happen, Jewish people were killing Jewish people, enforcing an edict of a king that was against the Torah, but for whatever correction purposes took place. So this time in our generation, the souls of those people who'd been killed were now in the soldiers, and the souls of the soldiers were now in the settlers, and they confronted each other, and there was no killing, thank God. Tremendous amount of light was revealed, not enough to correct the world, but more than was done before. Seeing cause and effect. Can I prove these statements to you? No. But there will come a time when you will have the truth and you will know cause and effect. The purpose of Kabbalah is to give you tools in knowing how to see cause and effect, how to be aware of cause and effect, to see your own life, how you interact with other people, because ultimately all of our actions are dictated by our unconscious, which is our higher soul, which is bringing us to different situations in order for us to achieve correction, tikkun. Understanding the rules of nature of reincarnation helps us understand that. And all of those rules are given to us, or the majority of those rules are given to us next week in the portion Parasha of Mishpatim. Another subject about reincarnation. As I was maturing into a young adult into my 20s or in the 70s, there was a name given by the medical community to the death of young children. It was called sudden infant death syndrome, which is a name that they gave because they could not explain why the parents put their children in a crib and went to sleep. The baby went to sleep. The parents went to sleep, and in the morning the baby was dead. And it wasn't that they were suffocated, and it wasn't that their heart stopped. There was no explanation. They were just dead. God forbid. And in reading, there was a discussion. We now have a name. Was this something new that never happened before? And in hindsight and in searching historical records, it was determined that this happened fairly regularly throughout the ages. Children less than 2 years old went to bed and woke up dead, or didn't wake up dead, didn't wake up. And I was reading the Zohar at that time, because it was being read to me, because I did not There was no English translation, and I didn't read Aramaic, didn't understand Aramaic. And then we were reading a section, and in that section it described how a particular entity, which we refer to as LL, because we don't want to say her name. It is spelled L-I-L-E-T-H. We don't want to say her name. We don't want to call her. But this particular entity, one of her works, one of her actions, one of her jobs, when a soul has been brought down that will only do negativity in this life, she is given the soul to play with as a baby. She is given the soul out of mercy so that the negativity does not unbalance the world. It's like a sacrifice. And through the cleansing of whatever she does to the soul is elevated and comes back a little cleaner, a little more able to achieve its tikkun. This is the rules of reincarnation. LL is the female component of the Satan, of the Nahash. The Nahash and the Satan are two different entities. One is external, one is internal, but they are, there's a female and a male component to both. Trying to give you some perceptions of the how the laws of reincarnation work. I believe last week we spoke about the soul that is drawn to a child is based on the unity or separation of the consciousness of the people having the relations. So when it comes to the idea of artificial insemination, the Kabbalists of the last century have been asked about it. They have recommended, if this is the way to bring children, that's fine. But it would be preferable if there's another alternative. And the reason being that they don't know what is the consciousness, what is the unity between husband and wife. If walking down the hallway with the test tube, those sperm are going to be impacted by the thoughts of the janitor that they pass, of the nurses that are busy working on thing on other people. All of that impacts the consciousness of the sperm and helps choose what soul is drawn to that particular family. Because the soul chooses the parents. The parents they choose is the best possible parents to teach them their life lessons. That teaching can be in a proactive, positive way, or that teaching can be learn your lesson to not be like your parents. But either way, the life lessons are there to be taught. This is part part of the laws of reincarnation as well. The unity between a husband and wife during zivug, during sexual intercourse, affects which soul is drawn. The Zohar says that before having intercourse to draw a child, it is recommended that the Zohar verse in Vayikra, verse 321, should be written in order to keep away all of the negative influences and just stay within the unity of the two souls, of the parents, to help draw as high a soul as one is capable. If one of the people is thinking about someone else, as we are taught by psychology, it's okay to fantasize about your favorite movie star when you're having intercourse with your wife. And I didn't understand that. I mean, I understood the concept. But my sister, who has passed, my sister once said to me something that really I didn't understand at the time, but as I came to read the Zohar, it became so clear. And I asked myself, how could she know this? Her statement was that she knew it was wrong to be with one man and be thinking of another. For her, it was so clearly wrong. But everything that I'd read, every medical information I'd been given, psychological information I'd been given, this is normal human behavior. But my sister taught me it's wrong. And the Zohar confirmed it. There's no unity when someone is thinking of a third party. What kind of soul are you going to draw? A soul that's not meant for the two of you. Just as Reuben, who was conceived on the first night between Leah and Jacob, because Jacob thought he was lying with Rachel, and that's where his thoughts were. And Reuben was drawn. Now, Reuben was a righteous man, a righteous soul, very high level. He is a chief. He started a tribe of the 12 tribes. This is a very high soul. Reuben did the action of upsetting the beds, whatever that means, which I don't have time to go into. Reuben did tshuva and remained part of the tribes. Reuben was not the firstborn because the consciousness of Jacob was on Rachel and not Leah. And the tribe of Reuben did not have the desire, the vessel, to go into the land of Israel, and therefore they asked to be left outside. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, all related to the seed level of which soul was drawn at the time of conception. Who was thinking of whom? The Midrash explains that God had a similar experience as Reuben. Jacob was thinking of, he was with Leah and not with her handmaid. But God was the child of the handmaid. And the whole, the side issue of half the tribe of Manasseh has to do with that same similar situation, according to the Midrash Seem. We know that God did something as the chariot for the month of Gedi, of Capricorn, that caused Mashiach to be transferred to Shvat, to the sign of Aquarius. We don't know what it is, but it has something to do with why the tribe of God also could not go into the land at the time the rest of the nation did. But these 2.5 tribes will return to the nation of Israel, and we will all go into the land together. Other aspects of reincarnation. When you have drawn a child and there's difficulty, God forbid it's health, God forbid it's acting out, God forbid it's something, one can use the tool of tshuva, the same techniques, to go back to that moment of creation and assist the child, even if that child is 60 years old. And one of the techniques that is recommended by the Zohar and the Ari is for the woman to go into the mikveh, and as part of her consciousness within the mikveh, within that cleansing, returning back to the moment of conception and bringing her ideas and consciousness more in tune with where her husband was at that moment. Some women know when they conceive and can relate back to that thought. When that's possible, perhaps you'll know what your husband was thinking and can bring yourself to be more in unity. That will help your child make the correction, make the adjustment. That change of tshuva works at this level as well. No, it doesn't change it completely because the soul was drawn. But the soul goes to sleep at night, and the soul that returns in the morning is not necessarily exactly the same makeup of the soul that left at night. We never know that there's been a change. We never know that there's been an ibur, that a righteous soul has come down with the soul in the morning to assist it, to do its actions that it needs to do by borrowing the body, and also by assisting the soul in achieving its correction. When someone has great fears or truly unusual, totally absurd actions or emphasis, I'll give you an example. Someone who's afraid of a shower. And many children, especially in the 50s and 60s, were afraid of showers. This was teaching them aspects of their last incarnation, in which they passed through the concentration camps in the showers. But if you have an unnatural or totally irrational fear of water, this is an indication that your soul is coming from the generation of the flood. Here's an interesting one that you should laugh about, because I do. Any person who is a spiritual teacher in our generation, was in the desert at the time of the golden calf and did not treat their wives properly in that they ripped the gold out of the ears or off the fingers. They didn't want to wait for them to say yes because the women were saying no. And in so doing, by saying no, the women achieved the correction of the female. And the men need to come in this generation as a spiritual teacher, because their correction is to spread the light that they veiled through the golden calf. The more people they reach, the more they are achieving that correction. The more light that is implemented by their students, the more the correction. As my students, I hope you will take it to heart. Well, I thought we were going to be able to talk this week about the psychic structure, how that works within our systems. But I really only have time to talk about certain aspects very quickly. So, briefly, the psychic systems, which are spiritual natural laws, the ability to tap into information that you don't know how you know. You cannot logically explain how you perceive it. The person who intuitively knows. There are five levels of psychic abilities. There are different aspects of abilities. So there's one aspect of being able to change material. There's one aspect of being able to know information, that like knowledge. There are different aspects, whether you want to call it mind reading or spoon bending or a sleight of hand or moving not telepathy, because that's mind reading, but teleportation. There are different aspects, but they all work with the same five levels. And these five levels start with a level that you don't consider. This is the lowest possible level. It's called instinct. And people do not consider instinct a psychic ability. A baby knows to suck at the mother's tit. A horse knows how to stand and walk. Animals know to run away from a fire. That's instinct. That is the lowest level of psychic ability. The next higher level is called intuition. And we will talk a bit about intuition and what does it actually mean and how can I strengthen my intuition. The next highest level is called a ruach. And the higher level of that is Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. But these are different levels of your connection to the spiritual worlds to be able to get information that you can utilize. And the highest level is called prophecy. And the higher level even than prophecy is called becoming a Talmid Chacham, a wise person. Five levels, five worlds. We will talk about this next week. Before I sign off for tonight, I please note, tomorrow night we will be discussing the letters from the Tree of Life, from the lower section of the Tree of Life. The class starts at 10 p.m. Los Angeles time. I hope you'll join us. Thursday night, we will be reading from the Zohar on the portion of Yitro. Before I leave tonight, does anyone have any questions? We wish you all shalom and have a beautiful evening.